If you'd read the scriptures, you would see that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if you're willing to turn and lose this life, you can find eternal life in Christ alone. Walking in spirit and truth, walking in holiness, walking in every sound doctrine. Because doctrine saves us, because the truth is Jesus Christ, He saves us. Hey, how are you doing, sir? How can I help you?
I was just talking to your wife here about your organization here. I think
it's we don't have an organization.
Well, whatever you like to call it.
Yeah. I got you.
It's just the two of you against the world, it seems like.
Well, no, we know other saints, but they're scattered all over the world because Jesus said there's going to be few.
Yeah.
And that word in English is puny. And I tell people this all the time, and I would love for somebody to prove me wrong. Why wouldn't I? I don't know in America or the world, but I haven't traveled all over the world, but I know a lot of people all over the world. Let's stick with America.
Yeah.
330 million people.
Yeah.
I don't know one place in a building that is an organized body of Christians that are keeping the gospel and the sound doctrines of Christ, or they want to change to do so.
Okay.
I don't know one. And if you know of one, I would offer you to either tell me or email me. We will test it. We'll come visit them. And if they truly are the saints of God, which what I mean is, Jesus said we walk in spirit and truth. So that means if anything is shown in them that is not according to God's word, they need to repent of.
Sure.
Just like you should look at my website and anything you think I've got wrong. You know, if I had four wives and you go, hey, what are you doing? The Paul says men should have one wife, right?
Yeah.
I got to repent of that. If I don't repent of that, what does that tell you?
You might...
I'm making my own way.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I say that, I'm talking about from Roman Catholic, which is the biggest, all the way down to the Baptist, the Lutherans.
Yep.
And my wife probably told you, we don't belong to any denominational body. We don't belong to any group. There's only one church,
sure. One
ecclesia. I don't like that word church. Ecclesia, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Now see, what happens is a lot of people go to a church building,
mm-hmm.
but they're not called out.
Yeah.
What do you got to be called out from?
The devil and his lies.
And who's the devil? What is the devil's kingdom?
Hell, the earth, I guess.
You know? Very good. No, not hell. No, actually, God's in control of hell.
Yeah,
God's in control of hell.
Couldn't you also argue that God is in control of earth, too, though, if
no.
He's in control of hell?
No, well, it depends when you say earth. The water, the trees, the systems, the gravity, all that, God's in control of that. The culture, the world, is Satan's, and I can prove it. Ready?
Sure.
He took Jesus up to the pinnacle, and what did he say to Jesus when he was trying to tempt him?
Oh, when he was in the desert for 40 days, he said the three things like cast yourself down.
Right. Yep. And then after that, what did he say? Related to kingdoms.
And I'll give you the world as kingdom.
Can you give it if you don't own it?
I guess not.
And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say his kingdom was of this world?
He didn't. He said he was king of another world.
Yeah, he was king of another world. And did Paul say Satan, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the god of this world?
I suppose.
That's what it says. So I would say no. Now, God will one day take control of everything. He's going to cast Satan out. But Satan right now is being used as his lackey.
Mm.
God is using him. Because God uses evil for good.
Yeah.
Only he can do that.
Yep.
You know, I can't take pornography and put it on the cover of a Bible to get people to read the Bible. That's sin. But God can take pornography if you're hooked on it.
Yep.
And God can put things in your way and you go, I found a Bible in a porn shop.
Mm-hmm.
Some preacher left a Bible in a porn shop. And you go, I found salvation in a porn shop.
Yeah.
Only God can do that. I can't do that. And so we have to be very careful. But that's why I go back. I would challenge you, if you know of one, or if you don't, say, okay, so if they're claiming Jesus, but they don't follow the truth, what does that tell us? Is the Holy Spirit not powerful enough to teach us truth?
I would not argue that.
He says in John 16, he'll teach us not some truth, not half truth, all truth.
Yeah.
So the other day, yesterday, on the street, they had a man older than me. He'd been a churchgoer for 30 years. 30 years. He didn't have the gospel right. He doesn't know Christmas is a pagan holiday handed down by Roman Catholics. He didn't know that Easter and Good Friday are the same thing. Pagan and Good Friday is actually a lie. Easter Sunday is a lie. Christ didn't rise on Sunday, didn't die on Friday. He didn't know how to dress their temples. He didn't know his wife should cover his head. He didn't know the modern pastor role is wrong. And he said, you need to listen to me. And I said, sir, in love. You can look up if you go on my website, our street preaching videos, you'll see what we preached yesterday. You can see that man on there. I said, sir, you've been a believer for 30 years and you don't have the truth. Why would I listen to you? Why would I let my house listen to you? Why? I wouldn't. But if a man's in the Word of God and he's got holiness and he's got obedience, I'm all ears.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me, show me what I got wrong. You show me something I have wrong on my website, I'll repent of it and I'll publicly sure. repent of it. So I would encourage you, test everything. And you can't be part of, you know, we hear all the same platitudes. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. That's Hebrews 10:25. Who are you supposed to gather with? Worldly, carnal, false people following a false Jesus? Or true saints?
Okay, how do you separate the true saints from the worldly people?
Well, as I said, so many people have a gospel that says, accept Jesus. Can you tell me one Bible verse that says to accept Jesus?
I wouldn't be able to pull it from my mind.
There isn't one.
Okay.
There isn't one. In fact, the Bible says God accepts us because of Jesus.
Sure.
See how they flip it? Satan flips it. So they have a false gospel. And here's another one. Ready? The gospel. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Maybe my wife already shared it with you on the gospel card. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection cleanses us and then defeats death for us. You're a young man, but death's coming for you. He's coming for me. And then by repentance, that means we turn from every false way. You got to be willing to lose every false way. Are you married?
I'm not.
Would you ever get married?
I plan on it, yes.
Okay. If you met, I just asked a young man, I just got to witness to a young man right down the street there, and I asked him this question, I'm going to ask you. If you met Sally, let's say Sally, okay. and you said, wow, she's awesome wife material, and you said, will you marry me? And she said, yeah, I think I'll marry you, but I gotta warn you about something. What's that? Well, I'm just a big sinner. I'm probably going to run with other guys. Would you marry her?
Probably not. No.
But yet, American Christians want to come to God and go, God, I love you and I'll serve you. I'm a big sinner. I'm going to sin all the time against you, God, which is spiritual idolatry that God hates worse than the physical idolatry. Mm. Ask Israel. Israel played the harlot over and over and over, so much so God divorced her twice. And so the gospel, death, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, you got to come out of your false ways. And when you're born again, God gives the Spirit to those who obey Him. You obey the Word of God and you start to learn. That's when the sanctification process starts. We had to learn. We had to get rid of our wedding rings. They're pagan. We had to come out of Christmas and Easter. I had to stop dressing like a worldly man. I used to be a bodybuilder and I loved pride and vanity. I read the scripture one day that horrified me. Proverbs 6:17 says, do you know what an abomination is?
What?
Homosexuality, according to the Old Testament, is an abomination. So is eating shellfish if you were an Israelite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And homosexuality is still a sin today. Mm-hmm. That shellfish was for Torah law for the Israelites.
Yep.
But you know what else is an abomination?
What?
A proud look.
True.
And I just asked that young man, I said, the pastors will eviscerate the homosexual movement. And yeah, they're sinful. We call that out when we can, but we don't focus on it. But they let the women in their churches walk around in makeup, jewelry, tight clothing, the men in their muscle shirts walking around. Is that not pride?
I would say it's pride.
It's pride. It's an abomination to God. So when you say, how do I make the distinction? If you're born of the gospel and you've repented and you're walking in holiness and the Spirit's conformed you, you won't look like the church system today. They compromise. They accept sin. They're lukewarm. Did Jesus warn the church about being lukewarm, the ecclesia? Did he warn them about that in Revelation 2 and 3? So these people that say, oh, I'm in Jesus. I can't lose nothing. I'll never lose nothing. I don't have to worry. What did Jesus say in Revelation 2 and 3? He said, repent, unless I'll come and remove your lampstand. There's some of you that have not stained your garments, but a bunch of you have sin. And not a bunch of sin, a couple sins. Mm. The rich man with Jesus, I love to teach this to people. The Bible says, remember the story of the rich man? Mm-hmm. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. And Jesus being, you believe Jesus was God?
I do.
Jesus knew him, knew his heart, and knew what he was doing. And he said, I've done that. Did you notice in that account, Jesus didn't say, you're a liar and a hypocrite. You have not. He didn't write in the sand and go, look at all your sins.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the Bible says Jesus loved him. Go read it. It's in John.
Mm-hmm.
He loved him. And he said, one thing you lack. One.
Get rid of everything.
He loves stuff more than God.
Yep.
So what I encourage young men, all people, what one thing, maybe 10 things, do you lack? You might go, that guy's talking about sin. What one sin's going to keep you out of the kingdom? Because Hebrews 10:26 says, if we keep willful sin, that means sin you know is sin, and you keep doing it. If I've convinced you that your church system, if you belong to one, keeps pagan holidays, has a corrupt gospel, they're worldly, the pastor's promoting this pastor we stood out today, promoting Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. I just asked that young guy. It's violent. It's covetous. The NFL is linked to LGBT. It's full of drunkenness, debauchery, rowdiness. Does that sound godly to you?
No.
Would Jesus sit in the stands and go, hey, praise the Lord, Father, for the Packers? If anything, they'd stand outside like we did in the past and preach to those people. Mm. And I said, how could you be of the world? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and not of the world. If you test that body and you find all that's true and you unite to it and you sing and you pray with them, you're guilty of their sin.
Sure.
How are you holy? You're not. You're united to it. You're like with a wife that lays with other men and you just keep laying with her. That's an abomination to God. God says you're not supposed to do that. So we have to be very careful on who we call Christians. Many people claim Jesus. Most Americans believe in Jesus. Is that going to save them?
No. Repentance.
Even the devil believes and trembles. Repentance, which leads to Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you, you have my website, test the fruit of my ministry, my life, my words, test everything. If you find any fault in me, if you find a video of me street preaching, I've got hundreds of them, and you go, wow, you swore at that guy and said a swear word. You show me that spot, and I'll go, wow, I didn't even know I did that. Man, I got to repent of it. I'll repent of it. Because I want to walk in holiness and righteousness. And let's go here. Do works save us?
No, only faith in Christ does.
Right. But what are works?
Works is the fruit of that faith.
And works are part of our salvation. Because in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says, sound doctrine saves us.
Yeah.
That's what it says. How can that be if we don't work our way to heaven? Well, here's the way. I like to use this example. Let's say Elon Musk called me. And he said, hey, I heard about you. Yeah. I got a company in California. I don't want it no more, and I think you do a good thing. You can have it. And I go, what? Yeah, free. It's worth like $50 million. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I want you to have it. And I go, it's free? Yeah, free. Wow, this is unbelievable, Elon. I don't even know you. Yeah, I want you to have it. But there's one thing. What's that, Elon? You got to move to California and run it for me for 5 years, and then it's yours free. Now, the company's free. I never could have got the company. I couldn't do what Elon Musk can do, but because of Elon Musk's grace, he's giving me this company, but there's conditions. Mm-hmm. God has always been a conditional God, has he not?
Yes.
Adam and Eve, he said, is. Do everything in the garden you want. Don't touch that tree.
Yeah.
Noah, he said, I'm going to flood the earth. You're a righteous man. Build an ark. Don't drown with the world. Mm-hmm. What if Noah didn't do faith and works and build the ark?
Probably wouldn't have worked out.
He would have drowned. You think God would have floated him with his hand?
No.
God would have said, how about Abraham? Took a son out in the desert, put the knife up. Oh, my son, but I love God more. God puts a ram in the bush. Mm-hmm. And so God always has conditions. And the modern pastors and priests are lying to people, telling them God's unconditional love for you. It's not unconditional. I'm married. Our marriage is not unconditional. If I run with another woman, I can promise you my wife's going to have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. If she runs off with another man, I'm not going to be happy and go, oh, we're still the same. It's unconditional. I'll still love her. I'll forgive her. I don't know if our covenant could go on. That's a whole other story. Sometimes people can be forgiven. They're truly contrite. There could be forgiveness because all of us can fall. But think about that, the unconditional love of God. So we're not saved by works, but you said it. Our works are our fruit. And if we just live in worldliness, that young man I witnessed to today, he got really convicted. He was very nice, respectful. I said, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm just walking down the street enjoying the day. And I said, what did Jesus tell us we should be doing, young man? He goes, living holy and preaching the gospel. And I said, yes, sir. I said, are you doing that today? And he goes, well, I try. And I said, let me encourage you. So I encouraged him, preached him more. And he was like really thankful. And he belongs to a world, he admitted, mm-hmm. he belongs to a worldly compromised church. So here's what I offer. Do you belong to a church?
I belong to a Catholic church.
Oh, Catholic church.
So
I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah. So I agree with a lot of what you say here. I think that I agree that you say like a lot of these churches these days aren't preaching good morals, but everything that all these doctrines you've been talking about, I found in my church too. So
that's not true.
Yeah.
No, that's not true because the gospel itself, first of all, they have a false Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Catholic Church believes on the three-legged stool, the magisterium, tradition, and the word of God.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't give us man-made tradition anywhere. It doesn't give us the magisterium, the ability to, the word of God is the source of truth. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. And if you study history, the Roman Catholic Church rose up and they lie. Okay, I'm just going to say in truth, they're lying to you. They'll tell you Peter was the first pope.
Mm-hmm.
What did Peter say in scripture he was? Do you know? Have you studied this? Have you tested the Roman Catholic Church?
What did he say?
What did he say in the scriptures? He said, I'm pope.
He didn't say that, no, because
he said, I'm a fellow elder.
Okay.
And not pope. So they make that up. They claim there's an unbroken line. It didn't start with Peter. It started centuries later. And the falseness that Paul said would come in grew the Catholic Church into what it was. And that's, do you know where the Dark Ages came from?
Mm-hmm.
Where?
The church.
From what?
from the corruption.
Yeah, it hid the scriptures, and it killed people. 50 million people, historians say. It murdered, butchered, and tortured. The Roman Catholics murdered, butchered, and tortured people in the name of God. And so what I would encourage you to do is start with, no, that's not true. They have a false Jesus, because Jesus doesn't save you. Your man-made tradition saves you. You need confession to the priest. You need this Eucharist. The Bible says confess your sins one to another. It doesn't say confess to a priest. Mary said herself she was a sinner that needed a Savior.
Yeah. John chapter 20, Jesus sees the apostles after he rises from the dead, and he says, go out, and whoever sins you forgive are forgiven, and whoever sins you retain. How do you interpret that?
Yeah, that's a really in-depth topic, but what that means is, as the body of Christ, look at what Paul did in 1 Corinthians 5. What Paul did with the man in sin, Paul judged that man and put him outside of the body and said to the destruction of his flesh so that he can be redeemed. So Paul was doing that exact thing. Paul is a leader, ordained by Christ from Acts 9, he called him. Paul went to that man and said, he said to the Corinthians, what are you doing? He said, you're glorying in this. He said, if I show up, I'll bring the rod. And Paul did. He showed him, brought the rod. He threw that guy out. And then guess what happened in 2 Corinthians? Mm. The guy repented and Paul restored him. So that's what it meant. The leadership has the authority to put people out, and then when they repent, restore them. Yep. So that's not a problem. But that leadership is not just for Catholic priests alone. That's for anyone in the body acting as an elder or as an overseer. And the body of Christ always had multiple elders, and it was always autonomous. So there were always was. Paul says in Titus 1, Timothy, young Timothy, go and do everything I told you to do. Appoint multiple elders in each town, not popes. Not one pope over everything. This is a man-made tradition.
All right, my brother's leaving. I
got to
go.
Hey, tell you what. I've got a testing on the Roman Catholic Church. You look up under our false teacher testing. I take the catechism, 10 points, right to the Word of God. You're being deceived by Roman Catholicism. You must come out of that. Be born again by the Spirit of God.
I got to go. Thank you.
Love you.
Nice to meet you.
Love you. Check that out. Email me, and I'd love to talk to you more. Gospel good news, lifting up Jesus Christ today. Warning our neighbors about sin and wrath that's coming. Telling of the goodness of Jesus Christ, the only way to eternal life.